Wise people are teachable people, are correctable people. It's foolish not to receive correction, especially when it's needed, right? And you know, God says it's an abomination to justify yourself. The Pharisees were good at justifying themselves, you know. He said, you are those who justify yourselves before men. How many know there's only one that can justify us?
Amen.
Amen? But he can only justify us if we're honest with him. Not when we try to pretend we're all that when we're not. If any man thinks that he's something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. So we're all in the place of, Lord, it's me in the need of prayer. Let's keep a teachable attitude. Amen. I'm going to say this before I start today. If I don't make you angry sometimes, I'm not doing my job. Sorry, that's just the way it is. I don't want to make people angry, but the truth sometimes will make us angry because it hits us in a spot that was secluded in darkness. And when God speaks to us and the light exposes that area, sometimes it's painful. And it hurts. The Bible says the word of God is like a sword. So sometimes it pierces through all our facades, you know, and it gets right down to the heart of the matter. And God wants our hearts to be true, our hearts to be pure. Amen. He wants to inhabit us. He wants to possess us and fill us with his spirit. And to the degree that we're willing to give him ourselves is the degree that he can fill our lives. If we're not willing to let him have all of us, then we can't have everything he has. And you can't be full of Jesus and full of yourself at the same time. You cannot be full of yourself and full of Jesus. If you want to be full of Christ, full of the Spirit, then we have to be selfless. Jesus said, I did not come to be served, but to serve. Jesus came to do his Father's will. That meant he had to set his will aside. If any man come after me, he said, let him disown himself, utterly disown or deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. So if you want life and peace in the Spirit and you want to fulfill the will of God for your life, you're going to have to get yourself out of the way. I have to get myself out of the way as well. I want more of Jesus. So that requires me giving up, amen, my agendas, laying them all at the altar and saying, Lord, you decide if I can do this or not now. You decide if I can carry that any further. If you don't want me to have this, I'm giving it up because I don't want anything that's temporary to rob me of that which is eternal. And too many in America, especially in the church, are so idolatrous and just consumed by consumerism and the temporary life of getting stuff and living for the temporary pleasures of this world. And the enemy is very good at setting us up and baiting us that way so that he can rob us from God's inheritance, his eternal inheritance. And so if we want to be followers or disciples of Jesus, we have to deny ourselves. We have to set our agenda aside and we have to fully commit our lives to the Lord. The title of the message is to be like Jesus. In Ephesians chapter 4 this morning, and I want you just to listen as I read from Ephesians 4, 11 through 15. Now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. So the first thing is to equip, and the second is to what? Build up, right? Or to edify. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. Are you hearing it? Then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever They sound like the truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. So as we're speaking the truth in love, it's not always pleasant initially. Sometimes it's a bitter pill, but it has good results. Amen? We need that medicine. And I'm thankful for the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit convicts me when I begin to wander. God wants us to come into unity, folks. Remember, unity is not uniformity. It's not everybody wearing a nameplate, black pants, white shirt, tie, going around knocking on doors, okay, looking all like cookie cutter somebody's. We can be as diverse as God made us, amen? Thank God he's got a variety in his garden, right? It'd be pretty boring if we all looked the same. But unity is not uniformity. Unity means that we are in agreement. We are together. We are one. We are one together in Christ. And unity is not achieved because we, in our own ability, try to get along. The world has been trying through legislation and through diplomacy for thousands and thousands of years to get along, to come to a place of world peace. And there are those who think they will drum for peace, or they will meditate for peace, or we will visualize peace. Well, you'll get peace, but you'll get a fake peace, a temporary peace, a false peace that doesn't last. Unity is a result of every individual being connected to the Creator in relationship, in worship. When we worship, are we not in unity? All the walls come down. Amen? The little idiosyncrasies don't seem to bother us. Does anybody beside myself have idiosyncrasies? Have little quirks, little things that may irritate somebody or sometime? You know, that's just a human condition, right? But when we're in the Spirit together, it's beautiful. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts, and it makes us want to love everybody. Isn't it true? I mean, with genuine, authentic love. Not just the fuzzy love, right? But unhypocritical love. Speaking the truth in love means that I love you enough to tell you the truth. And sometimes that will make folks mad. But folks, you and I are responsible to speak the truth in love to one another. We do it in a spirit of humility. And we need to be considerate, amen, of one another when we do correct each other. So when believers are actively serving the Lord, three dangers are avoided. That's immaturity, first of all. How many know that you cannot grow healthy unless you are practicing what you learn? If we are hearers only and not doers, we deceive ourselves. So, but if we are applying and practicing what we're learning, then we grow. It's no different than a child. He may learn theory at school, right, growing, but there comes a time when he's going to have to apply it in his life. And as he learns to apply what he learns, he becomes a mature adult. So it is in the Spirit. We have to receive from the Father, amen, the milk of the Word. We have to act upon it. We have to put it to use. So immaturity. Believers who never become involved in serving the Lord never emerge from being spiritual children. They're undeveloped through a lack of exercise. Hebrews 5:12, the writer of Hebrews is saying, by this time you ought to be teachers, but now you need someone to teach you again. God wants us to grow up. He wants us to get to the place of maturity so that we can reproduce. Secondly, if we're actively serving the Lord, it will deliver us from this thing called instability. We will become stable. And this is really spiritual fickleness. Immature Christians are really susceptible to these charismatic players, you know. And often they will become, if they're not in a good situation, if they're not under any kind of accountability, spiritual gypsies. And they will run from here to here to here to this thing to that thing. And they'll be drawn away after every wind of doctrine, every form of teaching. And after a while, they just become so disillusioned, or what's the word, just confused as to what is true. Instability is huge. And thirdly, gullibility. And the biggest danger for a believer who does not mature is that they remain gullible. Amen? Children are gullible. And so we want to grow up. And babes are unskillful in the word of righteousness. And that's because their senses have not been exercised to discern between good and evil. In other words, there has to be application of what we're learning. And so sometimes baby Christians, they get clotheslined, or they get drawn in by some false cultists because they're impressed by their zeal, enthusiasm, or even apparent sincerity. Because they may use great swelling words or religious words. And so they think that they must be a true Christian because nobody could talk so fancy as they, unless they are of God. Now, we have all, if we're honest, have blindly followed people we thought we could trust because they were such good actors. Am I speaking to all of us today? And why is that? Because they gave us the impression that they could be trusted, that they were people of integrity. I looked up the word integrity. It means three things primarily: adherence to moral and ethical principles, soundness of moral character, honesty. Second, the state of being whole, entire, or undiminished. And thirdly, a sound, unimpaired, or perfect condition, such as the integrity of a ship's hull. Now, if a ship lacked integrity, you wouldn't want to sail in it. Right? Why? Because it's not trustworthy. Likewise, you wouldn't want to follow someone who isn't trustworthy. Our character is the most important part of us. Our inner life. Who we really are. That is the area that God wants to transform. He wants to change. He wants to bring maturity. He wants to bring stability. And He wants to bring wisdom to us. Amen? And He wants to create in us a steadfast spirit. And so we've got to start from the place of receiving the milk of the Word and practicing it, applying it. The problem with too many is that they receive, but never practice what they're receiving. And James says, if you're a hearer and not a doer, then you are what? Deceiving yourselves, right? Yeah. You're deceiving yourselves. So God wants us to grow in character. And that means really to be Christ-like. Now, I know there's the message today that says this, that, no, not Christ-like, but Christ. The message of the occult and the new age is that you are your own impeccable Christ. Now, the Bible says we are to be conformed into the image of Jesus Christ, but we are not Jesus Christ. Amen? We are not Christ. That is the spirit of Antichrist that puts you in place of Christ. He is the head, amen, of His church. We are His body, and we receive our instructions from headquarters. We need to listen to His voice. So what kind of person can you trust? How about a person who is consistent? A person who says and does the same thing? Can you trust a person who keeps their word? Yeah? We can trust someone who keeps their word, right? What they think, what they say, what they do, all agree. They're integrated. they're holy, just like God is holy. When we lie, we are unholy. When we steal, we are unholy. When we say one thing and do another, we are unholy. It's hypocrisy. We're simply a player or an actor. We can put on the facade, we can put on the show, and try to impress people about how spiritual we are. But eventually, the cracks in your character are going to be revealed. Eventually, out of the heart, the mouth will speak, right? And we will tell on ourselves. So God wants to change our hearts. He wants to create in us a steadfast spirit, Christ-like character, to be conformed into the image of His Son. And this is not a work that we do. It is a work of grace. It is by the working of God's Holy Spirit. Amen. Through the Word of the Lord. Now, when we talk about character, we talk about the Lincoln Memorial. Has anybody ever seen that or a picture of it? And you look on the back of your penny, you used to see the little Lincoln guy in there, remember? If you had to look really close. Now, we call that what? An image, right? Or a character. It's a character image. So, your character is really who you really are. You can say, well, Chuck is a real character, right? We get to know his character, who he really is, if you spend enough time with him. That's why I pray for him every day. And he prays for me too. But we're all characters. We're all characters, right? Now, you all know this, but letter A, right, is a character. And why is that? Because it's always a letter A. A B is always a B, so we call it character. Same thing with numbers, right? They're always the same. When we are people of integrity and people of character, that means that we are not up and down like yo-yos, blown to and fro with every wind of teaching, you know? When we are people that have steadfast character, it means that we're the same. You know what to expect. What you see is what you get. Amen? In some cases, you know, let's face it, folks. If we are double-minded, if we are multi-personality people, you don't know who you're talking to and you don't know who to trust. It takes a while for us to get to know one another, amen? And that's why in the church we have to take time to get to know those who labor among us, lest we prematurely put somebody into a position who is not prepared in their character for that. You don't want to put a babe, all right, into a position of responsibility because they're not prepared for that responsibility. So characters are always the same. You know who you're. Are you with me today, right? And you meet somebody, you talk to a brother or sister, you can say, that's Graydon. If somebody describes your character to someone else, you may not be around, but they're describing this person to you. If you really know that person's character, then if they say something that's not true to your character, you'll know that something isn't right here. That can't be the same person that I know. Uh-huh. People will gossip, evil gossip. They'll try to hurt others by what we call character assassination. They will say things that are not true about that person. But when we know somebody, we know what they're like. And so God wants us to become stable. He wants us to become steady. He wants us to be constant. He wants us to be integrated. Amen? So what we say, what we think, and what we do are in agreement. We're a person of integrity who can be trusted. Come on. People who steal little things from the job cannot be trusted. People who cheat on their taxes can't be trusted. Because if they can do that when there's no pressure to do so, guess what? When the pressure's on, you know they're going to compromise something somewhere. So God wants to develop us to a place where we are steadfast, unmovable, and always abounding in the work of the Lord. We cannot be swayed by what's going on around us. We're always going to be that same person that people can rely on, that people can put their trust in. Amen. Because we serve the Lord Christ. We represent Jesus on the earth. And we need to be people of integrity because we are to be like the one who sent us. We are actually representing Him here. Integrity is huge. It's important. In fact, Paul, it's interesting that you were talking about the same thing at men's meeting yesterday morning. Paul, when he hires somebody, he's looking for integrity. He's looking for character. He's looking for a person who is who they are and not someone who's putting on an act just to get through the interview. You know, some people are good at interviews. But once you hire them, you're like, oh my word, what did we do? Because they don't have good character. Their character is splintered. God alone can make us steadfast. Now, why am I saying this? Because God is a God of integrity. He can be trusted. What He says is true, always. What He thinks, what He says, what He does always agrees. The Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit are always in agreement. They're a holy Trinity. Amen? And so, we want to be like Jesus because Jesus is holy. Jesus revealed the Father to us. This is what a perfect man looks like. This is what a holy man looks like. Amen? Not the people that wear those weird robes and the... Come on. Jesus is the only true holy man. Amen? And He's the only one that can make us holy. If we abide in the Holy One, then we will be brought together in Christ. Are you hearing me? He can bring the splinters and the broken pieces of your life, amen, and put it all together, amen. It's like that clay that's just marred in the potter's hands and has to go on the wheel, and yeah, it goes through a rough period of time of testing and beating, and but eventually there will be a beautiful vessel that He will make, amen, that can contain the glory of His presence. Again, if we don't yield ourselves and give ourselves to Him, then He cannot possess us. How many want God to fully possess you? You want to be full of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes people are elected to office because they're charismatic and they're popular. Isn't that true? Isn't that why many politicians can't be trusted? Because they're elected by popularity. And so they're not being necessarily true. Some are good politicians, but many are not true to their character, to what they really believe or what their convictions are. They do what they know the people want them to do so that they will get the vote. And so by popularity, they get into office, but in order to do so, they have to compromise their principles. And that's why many cannot be trusted. If a person pleases people, they cannot be trusted. If you and I are people pleasers, then we cannot be trusted. Do you realize that God cannot trust us if we are pleasing man? Because if we seek popularity or for everybody to like us, we will end up compromising the truth, because the truth sometimes makes people mad. But it's only the truth that's going to set us free. It's only the truth that can help us and save us. Without the truth, people perish. We perish because we're wise in our own conceits, in our own minds, in my own understanding. And we think somehow we're smarter than the Creator. And we disregard the truth of God's Word. And we do our own thing. And eventually we fall on our face. It may not happen overnight, but eventually we will crash. Character is that which is unchanging. You know, too many times Christians are like chameleons, you know? There was a song years ago by Petra called Chameleon. Change with your surroundings. If we are people of character, we are who we are in church. We are who we are out on the street. Because we are people of character. We are steady. We are steadfast. We are who we are. Take it or leave it. You know, people rarely were in the middle with Jesus. Either they loved him or they hated him. Isn't that true? Why is that? Because Jesus didn't change. Because Jesus was always the same. Yesterday, today. And he always represented the Father's will. And he didn't have his own agenda. And so when he spoke the truth, some people hated him. As a matter of fact, at the end there, he had very few that were still hanging around. And those who on one day were saying, Hosanna, Hosanna to the Son of David, the next day were crying out, Crucify him, crucify him. Because he spoke the truth in love. For God so loved the world. You know, God gives us the truth. He sent His Son, Jesus. Amen. And His Son came and He revealed to us what the Father's really like. If you want to know what a perfect man looks like, you look at Jesus. If your theology, if your doctrine, if your Christian walk doesn't look like Jesus, amen, then how many could say, I need some improvement in my life? Amen? Huh? How many want to be like Jesus? We become like the one we behold. Mean what you say, say what you mean. How many would agree with me today that your future depends on your character? Your future depends on it. I don't know how many times my heart has been broken because of broken relationships. Burned bridges. And people refuse to receive and listen to what God is saying. And they keep going back to their ways. Their ways. And there are many who are good players. And they use their talents. They use their gifts. Not to bless and benefit others. But to manipulate and control others. To take advantage of others. They use their abilities to do that. And like so many drug addicts, and I'm a former one myself, so I'm not just picking on people that are into drugs, but so many have burned every bridge in their life until there's nobody left. Nobody trusts them anymore. Nobody even wants them around because they can't be trusted. Because they played the game. They've controlled and manipulated and taken advantage of everybody in their life to get, you know, what they need to fill that addiction. And now they're at the end of their rope. There's no one that trusts them anymore. Their future has been depending upon their character. And because their character has not been true, many of them are in a place where there's just no one else. Nobody will trust them now. But folks, let me just say this. As God's people, we are to be just like our Father in heaven. And aren't you glad that our Father in heaven will take someone who's burned every bridge in their life, has destroyed every relationship in their life, And He will love that person, and He will restore that person, and He will not only restore them, He will raise them up. Amen? And He will connect them with people, amen, like you and I, who will love Him and be a family to them. That's the heart of our Father. But there are many decisions that we will make today that will affect our future. And God wants us to be wise. And our character is very important, that we are true to our word. What we say is what we mean. What we think and what we do is also what we're saying. Amen? It's all in agreement. And then we can be trusted. And you know, in a place where we can be trusted, God takes notice. And if you are a person who can be trusted, it will open doors of opportunity for you. Amen? It can open doors for employment. It can open doors for relationships of people, sometimes in high places. Why? Because you are a person who can be trusted. And people, especially employers, are looking for someone they can trust. I used to be an employer too, and I used to have a lot of people that interviewed well. You know, they knew what to say. And unfortunately, too often, even in the church, folks, I have people who know what to say. They say the right thing, but they're living something different. They have no character. And a person who does that cannot be trusted. And I want to say this, is that we need to have mercy. We need to have grace, amen, for people who have blown it, who have made the mistakes, so that we can see them reconciled, amen, see them healed and restored. That's really the heart of God. The heart of God is redemption, not condemnation. And it's our love. They will know we are Christians by our love. When we love somebody, we are truthful with them. Even if it's painful, we're still going to be truthful. We must have character because we're leaders. We're examples to the world. James 1:26 says, if you claim to be religious but don't control your tongue, you're fooling yourself and your religion is worthless. How many know your tongue can destroy? Amen? Not only others around you, but it can destroy you. It can defile you. We have to guard what we say. Another explanation for character is dedication to a set of standards without wavering. Dedication to a set of standards without wavering. In Psalms 119, verse 89, it says, your eternal word, O Lord, stands firm in heaven. Your faithfulness extends to every generation. As enduring as the earth you created, your regulations remain true to this day, for everything serves your plans. What is it saying? That God always is true. Always true to His Word. His Word is forever settled in heaven. Amen? He does not change. Therefore, we can trust Him with our whole heart. We can trust Him with our soul. We can trust Him with our finances. We can trust Him with every decision we make in life. Amen? We can trust Him because we know that God is good. That is His character. His character is good. All the time, God is good. And because He is good, I can trust Him. Because God is integrous, I can trust Him. Because God means what He says something, He means it. I can trust His Word. Amen. Amen. And we've got to forsake our own way and get hold of God's Word and say, Lord, what do You say about it? Why can God be trusted? Because He is unchanging. We must always speak the truth because God always speaks the truth. A person of character binds themselves to their own word. If I tell you, unless I just have a senior moment, but if I tell you, brother, I'm going to call you tomorrow and let you know about something. You know what? I'm bound to my word. How many know it's not a light thing to tell somebody, I'll call you, or I'll do this, or I'll meet you, or I'll be there, and not show up and not call? How many know that's not okay? That shows a lack of integrity. A person who does that can't be trusted. Isn't that true? When we hire people, yeah, you want people that if they tell you something, you know they mean what they're saying. They're not going to say that and then do something different. They're not going to say, well, I'll be there. See ya. If you can't make it, pick up the phone and say, I can't make it. It's called integrity. It means you're a person who is bound to their own word. I can be trusted because what I say is what I mean. Amen? It's huge. It will open all kinds of doors. People that have integrity will have audience with people sometimes in high places. Because, again, you can be a person that is trusted. Did I say that right? You can be trusted. Yeah. Why am I saying all this today? Is because as followers of Jesus, we represent Him and His honor is at stake. We dishonor God when we lie, when we cheat, when we steal, when we gossip, when we slander. We dishonor God when we're not true to our word. How many here want to honor God? Well, many people don't think, well, what I do in the natural has any repercussions or any bearing on my spiritual life. That's absolutely not true. As a matter of fact, God is watching to see what you do in the natural to determine whether or not He can entrust you with the greater riches. If you want to grow up and be entrusted with the greater riches of the kingdom, amen, to be spiritually promoted, if you will, then you need to practice being a person of your word, of integrity, that is honest, that is hardworking, that is trustworthy, right? That means what you say. Okay. I hope you're enjoying this today because, folks, this is important stuff. Many people that are gifted begin well, but they don't end well. Many people who begin well don't end well. You know this, folks. It's not okay just to begin well. It's not okay to start a race. You know, the race isn't always to the swift, it tells us in Ecclesiastes. It's not always to the swift. It's not okay just to... How many have ever run before? I used to run, and I learned... I used to run distance, and if I sprinted, you know, and I went too quickly, too fast, and I didn't pace myself, I would burn myself out, and I wouldn't be able to finish the race. You had to learn how to pace yourself. Because the object wasn't... Yeah, you wanted to be first if you wanted to win a race, but the key was to finish the race. Amen? You needed to finish the race. You didn't want to just start the race and fall out. And even when I was in the Army, when we used to run in formation, you know, it was a pride thing. You know, if a guy fell out during a run, you know, it was a shameful thing. How many have been in the Army remember that, right? And they had this truck that would go behind the formation. It was called the Sick, Lame, and Lazy Truck. So you began well, but if you didn't finish... Remember the rabbit and the hare? Tortoise and the hare. There's a hare and a rabbit, yeah. Listen to what Jesus said to the churches here. Revelation 2:7, I'm going to quickly read them. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of the God. This is what is he saying? Those who overcome to the end, those who finish the race. All right. Revelation 2:11, he who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death. Revelation 2:17, to him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna to eat. Revelation 2:26, he who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him I will give power over the nations. Amen. If we reign with Christ. Revelation 3:5, he who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Revelation 3:12, he who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. Revelation 3:21, to him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. Revelation 21:7, he who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. How many know it's important, folks, that we finish the race well? And only good character is going to sustain you. A heart that is honest and humble. In Proverbs 4:20, my child, pay attention to what I say. Listen carefully to my words. Don't lose sight of them. Let them penetrate deep into your heart, for they bring life to those who find them and healing to their whole body. And verse 23, look at this. Guard your heart. And the King James says, with all diligence, above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Avoid all perverse talk. Stay away from corrupt speech. Look straight ahead. Fix your eyes on what lies behind me, or lies before you. And what is he talking about? Well, today it means fix your eyes upon the prize, Jesus Christ. Fix your eyes on him, the author and finisher of our faith. Amen. Don't look to the left and to the right, but keep your eyes on the finish line, Jesus. Amen. And mark out a straight path for your feet. Stay on the safe path. Don't get sidetracked. Keep your feet from following evil. The heart is first, and it speaks about the inner life. The mind, the thoughts, the motives, the desires. And this heart of ours is the fountain from which all actions spring. If the fountain is pure, the stream that flows from it will be pure. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. If you have integrity in your heart, folks, you'll have stability in life. A stable inner life equals a stable outer life. A stable inner life equals a stable outer life. You've heard it said, but folks, we cannot stand up very long on the outside. You can for a while if you're not standing up on the inside. If you're not upright in heart, eventually you're going to fall. God wants all of his people to be like him. Amen. To be in him, to abide in him, to be worshipers of God. Amen. To be integrated into him. Even as he is holy, we are to be holy. In all of our conversation and all that we do, we are to be holy, folks, because we are representing the Lord. We represent his honor in the earth. And I want to bring glory and I want to bring honor to the one who I love. For the one who so loved me that he gave himself for me. I want to honor him. I want to bless the Lord in my life. How about you? We are to bear the image of Christ. Amen. I'm just going to finish with this. Giftings will not sustain you in your walk. Only character is going to protect you. As a matter of fact, and we've seen this, we've witnessed this, giftings can be dangerous if you don't have good character. I pray, Lord, that you give me a good, a humble, honest heart. Because an honest and humble heart, God will give grace to that kind of person to remain teachable always before the Lord. And Lord, I'm asking you to change my heart. I'm asking you to stabilize me. Give me, amen, a steadfast spirit. An unmovable spirit. Give me a character that is steady. Amen. No matter what happens, I'm always going to be the same person. I'm not going to be, amen, excuse me for the expression, but a spiritual schizophrenic. or bipolar spiritually. Amen. I want to be steadfast in the Lord. I want to be steady in the Lord. And the Lord is the only one that can bring stability, to bring normality, amen, to our lives. To be like Jesus, all I ask is to be like Him. All through life's journey, from earth to glory, all I ask is to be like Him, to be like my Jesus. I want to be holy like my Jesus, amen? I want to walk like Jesus. I want to talk like Jesus. I want to look like Jesus. I want to be like Jesus. So, I can't fix me. I can't change me. I can't do it by willpower. I need to be changed. Would you bow your heads this morning? You need to be changed today. I need to be changed. Would you be willing to give God your heart today? Say, Lord, here's my heart. Here's my broken, fragmented life. I've made a mess of it. I can't fix me. I've tried. I don't want to just be a patch job. Lord, I want to be transformed. I'm asking you to change my heart. Dear Lord Jesus, I'm asking you to take my life. Take my heart, Lord. Change my heart. Make my heart like your heart. Give me your heart, Lord. I give you mine. Transform me, Lord, into your glorious image. I want to be just like you because you're holy. Ask the Lord today, Lord, make me holy because I want to be holy. Forgive me for my sins. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. I welcome you. I give you all of me. I ask you to fully possess me, Holy Spirit. Hallelujah.